good to see everyone here this morning. I count it a joy, privilege, and an honor to be able to stand before you and proclaim the Word of God as I do. And I hope that our time spent this morning will be beneficial. We're going to be talking about some things this morning that are rather unpleasant for me to talk about. We're going to be talking about some things, however, that we all need to think about. So I want you to give me your utmost attention this morning as we talk about the seat of our affections, the motive for all that we do, our mind, the way that we think. You know, there are things in our culture, in our society, that have so permeated the way that we think, just the way that we look at the world, that is destroying America, but most importantly, it's destroying the Lord's people. And so I want to look at some things. Now, I know we can't look at everything. We cannot exhaust this particular thought this morning. But I want to look at three things with you. And I just want to discuss with you how these three things are destroying the people of God. Now, you may think, as we go through these particular things, that certainly that's not the case. Well, friend, I want to assure you that the people of God are being influenced by the world more than we may think, and more than we may be willing to admit, even to ourselves. But we need to be willing to accept and realize the danger and the threats that the world poses to us. You know, when you talk about pollution, you know, you hear these fellows on TV all the time. They're talking about the ozone layer, the hole in the ozone layer, and the pollution and things that are going on. The environmentalists are up in arms, and they want to do something about it. They want us to stop polluting. And I'm not against stopping the pollution. We should do all that we can as good stewards of God's earth. No doubt about that. But there's something more important. What about all the filth, the trash, the things that are being put into the airways, being put in books and magazines, things that are being seen in theaters? What about that kind of stuff? What about mind pollution, if you will? What about spiritual pollution? Is that not more important? Which will destroy a nation quicker? I want to submit to you that there are some things that we need to be concerned about, and I'm going to tone down. I'm not going to be able to show you some of the pictures that we're going to talk about this morning. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be just real graphic, but I do want you to be aware that some of the things that we're talking about are going to be uncomfortable for me, and they may be uncomfortable for you to listen to. So be aware. Parent advisory. We're going to talk this morning about pornography and the effect of pornography upon the people of God. It is a danger, it is a threat, and it is real. And it is harming, bringing harm to the body of Christ. The music industry and some of the things that are being done in the music industry and the things that our children listen to, we need to be aware of. We need to be aware of some of the things that are on our television sets. So we need to be aware as parents as to what our children are watching, what we are allowing as parents, what we are allowing to enter into our child's mind. But not only that, as parents, what are we allowing to come into our mind? Now that's important too. We need to think about these things. How does the ruler of this world try to pollute our mind? You know, Jesus says in John the 14th chapter and verse 30 that the prince of darkness, the devil, Satan, he has nothing in me. Jesus said he has nothing in me. How is that? Because he was never able to enter into Jesus' mind and to get him to think sinful thoughts and to think about committing sin. He was never able to get control of Jesus and pollute him, to defile him. In John the 17th chapter and verse 14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. What Satan wants to do, friend, is to conform you into the world's image. He wants you to think, he wants you to act like the world acts. That's what he wants. Is he being successful? I hope he's not with you, but I want to assure you he is being successful in many quarters of even the Lord's people. He's being successful. In 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17, the passage we're very familiar with, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Do you love the world? That's what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to fall in love. He wants you to become enamored with the things of this world. We are warned about this in Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, when the people of Israel were about to enter into the promised land. What did God warn them about? In verse 4, in verse 9, actually, Deuteronomy 18 and verse 9, he gives them this warning. When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. What did they do? What did they do? They learned the abominations of those nations. They followed in their footsteps, and God removed them from the land. That's what happened. And you know, in principle, the same thing is true for us. We are warned. We are warned not to learn and follow the abominations of the world. Indeed, the world is evil. You know, friend, we need to get a hold of this concept. We need to get a hold of it. We need to understand it. The world is evil. In John the 7th chapter, in verse 7, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its works are evil. That's what Jesus said about it. The world's works are evil. In 1 John 5 and verse 19, we know that we are of God. The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. The world is wicked. We need to understand that. We need to learn about that. Satan has blinded the eyes of so many. Friend, your eyes are blinded when you begin to think that the things in this world are not so bad. When you believe that sinful things, things that are immoral, unrighteous, ungodly, and unholy, well, they're not really all that bad. Adultery to you is no longer adultery and a sin. It is, well, it's an extramarital affair. When you think of pornography, in fact, we're going to look at some quotes in a few moments. When you think of pornography, not as pornography or as sin, but you think of it as adult entertainment. Something's going on in the way that we think, in the way that we look at these things. You see what I'm saying? How do we view these things? We need to realize that the world is evil, and we need to come to understand that. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verses 17 through 20, I want you to turn in your Bible over there with me. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 17. Chapter 5 was read just a few moments ago, but there are some statements there in Ephesians chapter 4 that I want you to listen to. Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 17, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. Satan has blinded the eyes of the world, of the worldly minded. Has he blinded your eyes as well? Has he dulled your senses to that which is evil and you think it's not really all that bad? We are to remain separate from the world, untainted by its influence. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 7, verse 1. The Lord says that if we come out from among them, he will receive us. Touch not the unclean thing, he says, and I shall receive you. In James chapter 1 and verse 27, we are to be unspotted from the world. Unspotted. In chapter 4, in verse 4, those who become friends of the world, they are what? Enemies of God, James says. We are to remain separate from the world and untainted by its influence. We are to feed our mind with things that will encourage, not discourage, us to remain faithful to our Lord, to serve Him in holiness and righteousness and godliness. We are to feed upon things that will encourage us to be faithful to the Lord. These are important points that we need to grasp and understand. In Romans the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Paul is writing to members of the body of Jesus Christ, and he is begging them with strong urgency and by the mercies of God that they present their bodies, and he is writing to us as well, that we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Where do you think Satan tries to attack the people of God? He first begins, and it has to begin, in the mind. If he gets control of your mind, he has control of your body. If he defiles your mind, he has control of you. And what the Lord is saying is that we need to renew our mind, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, that we may, by renewing our mind, bringing it in accordance and learning how to think like God wants us to think, then we will do what God wants us to do. That's what that passage is saying. We will exhibit godliness when we think like God wants us to think. When we renew our mind, we will prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So it begins in the mind. Now I want to think about these things that I've already said, things that are troubling us. There are three things I want to talk with you about. Pornography. There are over 800 million rentals each year of, there's that word, adult videos. I don't like that adult video thing. That's toning it down. It's not adult, friends. Responsible adults who are godly don't do this. They don't rent these things. This is pornography. Over 800 million rentals each year of pornography, DVDs. Now, 11,000 pornographic movies are produced each year. 11,000 pornographic movies are produced each year in America. How does that compare with Hollywood and the movies that they put out? How does that compare with them? I'm not condoning Hollywood or and the movies they put out. I'm talking about, there is a distinction here. I'm making a distinction between pornographic movies and the regular rated PG-13, even rated R movies. There's a distinction here. Not much, but there is a distinction. There are very few movies that are put out compared to pornographic films. 11,000 per year. Playboy's largest cable channel, Playboy TV, is available in 24 million of the nation's 81 million homes that receive either satellite, cable, or digital television. They're making it easier and easier and easier for us to digest this stuff. It's becoming easier. Median age for the first use of pornography, boys 11 to 13, girls 12 to 14. According to a 2004 IFR research, U.S. porn revenue, listen to this, exceeds the combined revenues of ABC, CBS, and NBC. And combined, they bring in $6.2 billion a year. Porn revenue is larger than all combined revenues of all professional football, baseball, and basketball franchises combined. And we think that they're really, you know, living high on the hog. I mean, they can afford to pay Michael Jordan $30 million to play basketball for 1 year. Friends, the NBA can't touch the pornography industry. The pornography industry, according to conservative estimates, brings in $57 billion a year, of which the United States is responsible for $12 billion of that. $57 billion a year. For every 10 men in church, now this is a national survey, so what they're doing is they're just talking about church-going people. They're not talking about members of the church, of the Lord. They're talking about church-going people. For every 10 men in church, 5 are struggling with pornography. Of every 10, 5 are struggling with pornography. In 2004, there were 372 million pornographic web pages, 2.5 billion emails, 8% of all total emails. If you have email, I want to ask you, have you ever gotten an email enticing you to go to a pornographic website? Now, if you have your junk mail filter turned up as high as I do, and I hope that you do, you'll never see that stuff unless you go over and you read your junk mail filter, what's in your junk mail. But if you do, if you go over and you read that, friend, you've seen some of these. You've seen them. They're everywhere. And they are enticing people to come and view what they have to offer. 72 million internet users visit pornography websites per year. At least 20,000 American adults visit internet sex sites at least 11 hours per week. At least 11 hours per week. 34% of church-going women said they have intentionally visited porn websites online. And that's taken from internet porn, a guy thing? Question mark. Not really. In fact, 20% of men and 13% of women admitted to accessing pornography at work. 3 million of the visitors of adult websites in September 2000 were aged 17 or younger. 21% of teens say they have looked at something on the internet that they wouldn't want their parents to know. Young people, have you ever looked at something on the internet that you wouldn't want your parents to know? Parents, you need to be aware of that. The average age of first internet exposure to pornography is 11 years old. That's average, friend. That's average. 11 years old. The largest consumer of internet pornography is the 12 to 17 year age group. Sex sites on the web generate at least $1 billion per year in revenue. Now, all of that, I want to talk to you about the consequences of such. Sex on the net is like heroin, Dr. Mark Schwartz says. It grabs them and takes over their lives, and it's very difficult to treat because the people affected don't want to give it up. They don't want to quit. It's very hard to break people of this habit. And it does become addictive, by the way. Study after study proves that pornography, viewing pornographic materials, is very addictive. In fact, as Dr. Schwartz says, like heroin, there's something that goes on in the mind. It is a satisfaction that is gained from viewing such that stimulates the mind that you just want it, and you want more of it, and you want more of it, and you want more of it. It escalates. A person who becomes addicted on pornography finds himself wanting more, and wanting more, and wanting more, and he becomes desensitized to a lot of things. He becomes desensitized, first of all, to the sin of it, or the wrongness of it. He becomes desensitized to the real needs of society, including, perhaps if he's married, to his wife, or to other women. He has a false view of women and the roles of sex. He is desensitized to all that is true and godly as well. Acting out sexuality, it becomes something that he does. He practices it. That, of course, is why he views it. And it produces, eventually, antisocial behavior. The effects of pornography can be seen. I tell you what, you can go to places such as Los Angeles, California, where the web industry is really, really, really powerful. And you can go to the slums and you can see the people who have been so destroyed by it. But you don't have to really go there, do you? You don't have to go there. You may have a friend that's had a marriage destroyed because of pornography. You don't have to go there. You can look at a person's life and see how it has destroyed them. Pornography is destructive, but most importantly, pornography is sinful. Anything that you do, whether it's something that you look at or it's something that you engage in that creates illicit sexual thought and activity, friend, is wrong. It's lewdness. It is lewdness. Going back to Ephesians chapter 4 again. Doesn't this fit? Listen to him again. Verse 17, "This I say therefore, testifying the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness." Now friend, that's what pornography does. That's what it produces. To work all uncleanliness with greediness. You've given yourself over to lewdness if you've given yourself over to pornography. It's destructive. Television. I want to begin and we'll end as well. I want to make this point. Television in and of itself is not bad. It is not sinful in and of itself to watch or to have a television set. Because every act of communication, every medium to where we can communicate with other people can be used for good. And that's all television is. It is a means of communication. That's all. It's like a telephone, except it's got a picture on it. That's it. The question is, what are we watching through it? What are we allowing it to feed our minds? 75% of primetime television in the 1990 to 2000 season included sexual content. 75%. By the way, I was on the way to the office here a couple of weeks ago. And Donald Trump, if you listen to KARN in the mornings, you have probably heard the commentary by Donald Trump. Donald Trump was on a tirade that morning about viewing violence on television. And he said how that is so bad. We put all this violence on television, which I'm not condoning violence. But then he said what people are complaining about is sex. People are complaining that there's too much sex on TV. Too much sex on TV. And then he says, but sex is a good thing. And he says, in fact, he goes on and he tries to defend that sex is something that ought to be on television, whereas we need to take violence off. Now, you know what? A lot of people think like Donald Trump. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not condoning violence on TV per se. But you know what? You can pick this up right here. You know what? You can read a lot of violent stuff in it. Violence in and of itself isn't bad. Illicit sexual activity is bad. It's harmful. It's sinful. Now, I'm not condoning showing violent things. Now, there might be some violent things that would be good for us to see. Maybe public executions and things like that. It may not be all that bad for some of our people to see that stuff. But sex on TV, I mean, it is overtaking TV. Why? Because that's what people want to see. That's what people want. Movies have 87% likelihood of presenting sexual material. The average American adolescent will view nearly 14,000 sexual references per year. The average American adolescent will view nearly 14,000 sexual references per year. More than 3 out of 4 Americans say the way television programs show sex encourages irresponsible sexual behavior. Well, 3 out of 4 Americans aren't dumb. That's what that says. 3 out of 4 Americans aren't dumb. They realize the consequences of it. The other quarter, they're lacking some things. We need to realize that television programs that show sex do indeed encourage irresponsible sexual behavior. Now, 64% of all shows include sexual content, and only 15% mention waiting, protection, and consequences. This is from TV Sex Getting Safer, from the Kaiser Family Foundation. There is no such thing as safe sex out of the marriage bond. No such thing. sex outside of marriage is unsafe because it is sin. Sex outside of marriage is glorified on TV. The Center for Media and Public Affairs new study found that sexual content is featured once every 4 minutes on network TV, with 98% of all sexual content having no subsequent physical consequences, 85% of sexual behavior having no lasting emotional impact, and that nearly 75% of the participants in sexual activity were unmarried. Sexual content on primetime TV more than tripled in the past 10 years. More than tripled. Things are changing. Things are changing. Since the sexual revolution of the 60s, things have continually progressed for the worse. And our nation is stuffing itself, gorging itself on sexually explicit materials. And don't think it will not destroy us as a country, but what I'm more concerned about is the destructive nature that it's having on the church. People who are members of the body of Christ are feeding on this stuff. 40% of teenagers have gotten ideas for how to talk to their boyfriends and girlfriends about sexual issues from entertainment media. Teenagers ages 13 to 15 ranked entertainment media as the top source of information about sexuality and sexual health. Youth exposed to sexual content on television are more likely to overestimate the frequency of sexual activity among peers and have more permissive attitudes toward premarital sex. Duh. You know what? If our teenagers were to watch all of these sitcoms that are on TV, Friends, and some of the other ones, we watch this stuff, we think that it happens every night. Because that's what happens on television. Every night. We need to be fed what the Scriptures say. And it is so true. We can become desensitized to sin. We may watch these programs and understand that this is wrong. But the more we watch it, the more we let it into our mind, the number our mind gets to the sinfulness of it and the effects of it. We can become so familiar with it that it becomes nothing to us. We change the names, the labels, the distinctions, or the descriptions of what we're seeing. We laugh at it even. And then we begin to compare with others and say, well, everybody's doing it. We can become desensitized to sin. And television has a big part to play in that. We need to be aware of it. Proverbs 6 and verse 27, can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? That proverb means a lot. And it's true. Can you take all of these things into your mind, into your heart, and it not affect you? Now again, television can be used for some good things. It is educational. I was watching a program just this morning on the ruins of the temple. Very good program. I'm kind of surprised even. Very good program. There can be some educational, even biblically educational material on television. Informational. We get our news and weather and we can make plans accordingly. Wholesome entertainment. There are some good programs that are wholesome in nature that can be watched from time to time. They're rare. They're few. But you can find them if you have the time to do so. And used for spiritual things. The TV can be used for spiritual things. But we must remember something. 75% of all that's seen on primetime television is sexually explicit. It's filth. Sex in the City. There was a new one coming out. I don't even know about it. I've never seen it. It's called Skin. Skin. What do you think that's about? Skin. And that's on network television. The Dukes of Hazzard, a new movie that's just come out. Hollywood is filled with this kind of stuff. We just need to be aware. Guard our minds, guard our hearts. Finally, 78% of girls and 88% of guys say they listen to music often as opposed to seldom or sometimes. I don't know why it is, but there's something about being a teenager that music is really important to you. I don't know what it is. It was that way with me, okay? I remember that. It's that way with me. It seemed to be really important. But I've grown up a little bit, and I realize it's not all that important. But they named nearly 150 different favorite artists. The most popular musical genre was hard rock or hard modern rock, Dave Matthews, Limp Bizkit, and Creed, to which 52% claimed to listen. Rap, that is 666, Mafia, Eminem, Snoop Dogg, was the second in popularity with 38% saying they listened. It is notable, especially to concerned parents, that some hard rock and rap music often contain the most objectionable lyrics and themes. But I want to tell you something. Pornography, in order for it to affect you, does not have to be seen with the eye. It can be seen in the mind by what you read or by what you hear. Rap videos often promote drug use, violence, and sex. And there's more than enough material to back that up. Now, if you can understand what they're saying, that could be a problem in and of itself. But you know what I'm afraid of? Many of our young people do understand what they're saying. I remember some of the music that I listened to when I was growing up. Well, I was fascinated by Elton John. One of my neighbors had an Elton John Greatest Hits album. This was back in 1970, I believe. And he played that all the time. Of course, he was older than I was, and you know, I thought it was cool. So I thought it was cool to listen to that stuff. And I remember when Elton John's Captain Fantastic album came out, and I had to get it, so I had one of my friends go and buy it for me because I couldn't buy it. And young people today, they don't know what this is, but you know, it was an album. You know, it wasn't a CD, okay? It was an album that you played on a stereo. And I would listen to that thing over and over and over and over. And it had some pretty bad songs on it, to be honest with you. Now, Elton John, immorally, very much. He's a very immoral man. From a musician standpoint, I have to admit he's one of the best musicians alive today. And I still believe that just by listening to him and things that he's done with his career. But some of the songs on that particular album were filthy. And I remember I was in the sixth grade. And me and some of my buddies got together and we wrote a little book. Wasn't a nice little book. Wasn't nice at all. And I got sick just before Thanksgiving vacation. I had the strep throat and I was at home in bed. And my neighbor came and knocked on the door the day before, I just got out for Thanksgiving vacation. And so the teacher had found the book that we wrote. And I was scared to death. Well, I had a right to be scared to death. So she found it and she read it and she called my mother up to have a conference with her. And I remember that ride home. My mother didn't say a word to me. She didn't have to. And I went into my bedroom. I was mad at myself. But all I could hear, and she never said a word to me, but I could hear her. She was in the kitchen crying. I could hear her sobbing. And I took my Captain Fantastic album and I broke it into 1,000 little pieces and put it in the trash can. I was in the 6th grade when that happened. Don't tell me that music cannot affect you. See, I was old enough and aware enough that that had changed the way I thought about things. It can affect you. You know, there's evidence that suggests that certain beats and sounds can influence attitude and perception. Why do some people listen to classical music? Because it soothes them. Why do some people like to listen to that hard thumping stuff? Because it motivates them. Music can affect us in the way we think. Now, there's nothing inherently sinfully wrong with a beat of a piece of music. We need to be aware of it, though, that it can affect us. Many of the lyrics are immoral and sexually explicit. Now, that's where the sin comes in, when we listen to that stuff. And I'll tell you something. You know, Martin Luther once said, he said, "I cannot stop the birds from flying over my head, but I can stop them from building nests in my hair." That's right. I may hear things, I may see things that are not right, and I may turn a blind eye to that, I may turn a deaf ear to that, and I'd be okay. But when I begin to take that stuff in, when I begin to allow it to enter into my mind, and I begin to like it, there's something wrong. Something wrong. Many of the lyrics condone, promote, and even glorify sin. Anybody like to deny that? Many of the lyrics. I'm not saying that all of them do, but many of them do. The exaltation of ungodly people. Here's another problem. We have idolatry taking place today, friend. It's everywhere. Britney Spears is held up as an idol in the minds and the eyes of many people. Don't believe me? Watch the way they dress. These people do influence our dress and our activities. They're somebody. And we want to be somebody, so we want to be like them. And the dress of our young girls, and I'm not talking about here necessarily, I'm talking about you just watch the, you know, you go to JCPenney's, or you go to Sears, you go to some of these places and look at the clothes they have for young girls. The clothing industry and what they sell and what people want is affected by women like Britney Spears, Madonna, and some of these other folks. You know, you think about it and you look at some of these individuals out there. Another big rock group that was really popular when I was a teenager was Kiss. They were real popular. I had a couple of their albums even. Who could honestly, objectively look at those guys and say that they are wholesome, godly entertainment? How could you do that? You can't. I mean, Alice Cooper and some of those guys, that's back when I was growing up, you know, I recognize, I'm smart enough to know, there's something wrong with these guys in the head, you know? They're not all there. Ozzy Osbourne is another one, but, you know, he's still going, not very well, but he's going. And people love to watch that kind of stuff. It's sad, really, that we can become so enamored by these immoral, ungodly people and hold them up and be influenced, allow to be ourselves to be influenced and act like them. Now, I want us to think about it in closing. Think about some things. Do not expect a person who views pornographic material to have pure thoughts. Don't expect their mind to be pure and wholesome. It's not going to happen. If you have a problem with pornography, you have a problem with the way that you think, and you need to renew your mind. That's what the Apostle Paul said. Do not expect a person who views hours of sexually explicit television and sexual innuendo. And by the way, you know, it doesn't have to be just explicit. Some of these movies and sitcoms and things, I mean, they don't come right out and say the dirty words. And they may not show a lot of skin right there on the TV. But you know all of the innuendo that's going on. You know what the word innuendo is? They're beating around the bush, but they're trying to get you to get the point. Don't think that you can't watch all of that and not be harmed by it. Do not expect a teenager, or anyone else for that matter, who watches 5 hours of MTV per day,
to respect and honor their parents. There's going to be a problem there. These things destroy the way we think and behave. Jesus said the lamp of the body is the eye, Matthew 6, verses 22 through 23. The idea is that what we take into our mind is what we will become. You become what you eat, Jesus says. And if what we take into the mind is wholesome, if it's holy, if it's pure, guess what? Our mind will be wholesome and pure, and we will have pure thoughts and pure deeds. But what if we take in that which is pollution? Filth. You cannot commit adultery, or you can commit adultery within the heart. You do not have to commit the actual act in order to be guilty in the mind of God of adultery. Matthew 5, verses 27 to 28. Whosoever looks upon a woman and lusts after her in his heart, he has committed adultery with her already in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, what does Jesus say? Let's use it some more. No, he says, pluck it out. What he's saying is, friend, is that sin is serious. And we need to realize it. And we need to do all that we can to stay away from it. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust, Romans 13 and verse 14. But yet, many of us, we make provisions all day long. We create our own temptation. And then we walk in it. And when we give in, when we yield, we say, oh, here I go again, oh, woe is me. And we just keep laying a trap for our own self. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it will spring the issues of life. How true that is. Keep your heart. You know what that says? That says that you have a personal responsibility to guard your heart. Do not let these things in. Guard your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. That means that you need to give all diligence to keeping your heart pure. You need to be very busy guarding your mind and your heart, because out of it are the issues of life. Test all things, Paul said. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Stay away from it. Don't part with it. Certainly don't participate in it. Now, may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Abstain from every appearance of evil. Thank you for listening kindly, patiently, and I hope that the things that we've said this morning will get you to think about the dangers that we face and the importance of being victorious over these things and keeping our minds focused upon the things that are good, wholesome, and right in the sight of God. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. What you must do is come to have faith in Jesus Christ. And that faith must be such that it will move you to be obedient to Him. Move you to turn away from sins. Such sins as what we talked about this morning, but others as well. That you turn your mind away from those things and you turn your mind towards the Lord and renew your mind. Decide, commit, devote yourself to serve Him. Be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins. If you do that, then you will be a Christian. You'll be a child of God. Then you must continually serve Him faithfully. If you stumble and if you fall, maybe there's some here this morning who are Christians, they've stumbled and they've fallen, confess your sin. Repent of your sin. And pray that God forgive you of that sin. If you sin in a public way, and you need to make that public, won't you come? Let's together we stand.